From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Carol Bousquet with the news on This Day in Maine, Wednesday, November 13th, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Maine gun rights groups have filed a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of a new waiting period law for most gun purchases. As Steve Missler reports, one of the plaintiff's attorneys was part of the U.S. Supreme Court's landmark Bruin decision that established a new test for evaluating the constitutionality of firearm regulations.
The three-day waiting period law was enacted by the Maine legislature this year as a response to the Lewiston mass shooting in 2023. The lawsuit filed in U.S. District Court in Bangor asserts that the law violates residents' Second Amendment rights by imposing a restriction unrelated to determining whether individual gun buyers should be denied access to firearms, such as a background check. The plaintiffs include gun dealers and Andrea Beckwith, who runs a self-defense training program that teaches women how to use firearms. The lawsuit says one of the women injured in the Lewiston shooting is one of Beckwith's clients. Paul Clement is among the attorneys assisting with the lawsuit. He spearheaded the 2022 Bruin case against New York that gun rights groups have since used to challenge firearm regulations, including a waiting period law in Vermont. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
The Penobscot Nation and Conservation Law Foundation claim that an expansion of the Juniper Ridge landfill proposed by Casella Waste Management would further harm the communities around it. The groups have filed an appeal in Superior Court to stop the expansion. They argue that harmful exposure to PFAS in the landfill's leachate, air pollution, and contamination of the Penobscot River will all increase. Alexandra St. Pierre of the Conservation Law Foundation says when the state concluded an expansion would benefit the public, it failed to guarantee the safety of residents and the environment.
And we're really hoping that we'll get adequate consideration for the issues that we raised and that the people actually themselves are considered in this decision and that environmental justice is considered and implemented.
The appeal claims a landfill expansion also runs contrary to the state's solid waste management goals. The Department of Environmental Protection says it is unable to comment on pending litigation. Yale University's Peabody Museum says human remains and other items taken from Maine more than 70 years ago may soon be returned to the Wabanaki Nation. Caitlin Badion has more.
According to two notices in the Federal Register, the museum has established a connection between the Wabanaki Nations and the human remains, which were removed from a shell mound near Oak Point on Deer Isle around 1950. 8 funerary objects taken from several areas of Hancock, Knox, and Penobscot counties around 1915 may also be repatriated. Molly Ann Bryant, executive director of the Wabanaki Alliance, says that Indigenous communities are often discussed only in a historical context, making it seem acceptable to study them like artifacts. And that makes repatriation efforts that much more important.
When we have efforts like this to bring these relatives home and to kind of restore that connection, it's so good for our people because it gives validity to the idea that we're living and breathing and worthy of that wholeness that comes from having our ancestors back with us.
If a request for repatriation of the objects and remains is made, the items could be returned as soon as December 12th. In a statement, the museum says it is, quote, dedicated to realizing our goals regarding consultation and repatriation through meaningful relationships with our tribal partners. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Caitlin Badion.
Transgender support groups in Maine say they are seeing a spike in contacts, similar to those reported by national LGBTQ+ groups since Donald Trump's election last week. Bree Danvers-Kidman with the Maine Transnet says about 100 people came to the group's post-election support event and that many others have reached out through various platforms in the weeks since. Some have expressed fears about losing their gender-affirming care, the potential rollback of Title IX protections, and a rise in harmful rhetoric. Danvers Kidman says that though there is valid concern about federal funding for care being rolled back, Maine has its own protections in place.
if the state offers greater protection to citizens than the federal government, the state wins. And so those greater protections that Maine offers to trans people, those will hold. I expect those to hold.
The Trevor Project, a national suicide prevention organization for LGBTQ plus youth, reported a 700% increase in crisis contacts the day after the election. Housing advocates in Maine say they're optimistic that the state will be able to work toward its affordable housing goals despite any potential changes that may come with a new Trump administration. Developers have relied on federal tax credits to subsidize the building of affordable homes in Maine. And BJ McAllister with the Maine Affordable Housing Coalition says finding a consistent stream of money for state housing efforts has become a top priority for developers and some lawmakers next year.
But also a unique revenue stream for housing, allows for reliability with developers, increases the number of units, and makes Maine resilient against changes in a national climate.
Maine lawmakers approved more than $76 million for housing initiatives in the supplemental budget this spring, but those were one-time funds. McAllister says dedicated funds for housing could come in the form of a bond measure. After 25 years, the Nordic Outdoor Heritage Center in Presque Isle says it's closing by the end of the month. The venue has miles of trails for cross-country skiing, mountain biking, and hiking, as well as a disc golf course. The center has also hosted the Biathlon World Cup. It's owned by the Libra Foundation and Pineland Farms and operated by the Presque Isle Recreation and Parks Department. The department's Andrew Perry says the center is beloved by the community but is difficult to maintain.
One of the drawbacks of an outdoor setting like that is how do you generate revenue in order to justify the cost of maintaining and running. And I think that offset was enough to make the decision to finally say that we're at the end.
Perry says the community is holding out hope that whoever purchases the property will continue the center in some capacity. The Maine Forest Service says the southern half of the state is experiencing very high fire danger from the Western Mountains to Bangor to islands just south of Bar Harbor. Crews from Wales, Casco, and Poland on Wednesday battled brush fires fueled by dry conditions and wind. The state says the northern part of Maine is experiencing high fire danger. And that's today's news. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And join Irwin Gratz at 5 a.m. tomorrow for Morning Edition. I'm Carol Bousquet. Thanks for listening.